Morning to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And on our Mother's Day, we have a couple cute little things that we're going to read talking about our mothers. And once again, we're thankful for them. We're going to get to the sermon in just a second. But let's see here. Some are funny, some are serious. So let's start off with something that helps us understand a little bit about a mother's salary. It says, Salary.com conducted a survey in 2010. They attempted to place a monetary value on the work of a stay-at-home mom. They determined that its mothers were to be paid for their 10 most common tasks at home: a laundry machine operator, a janitor, a van driver, a computer operator, a housekeeper, a daycare center teacher, a cook, a chief executive officer, a psychologist, and a facilities manager. They would be paid over $115,000 a year because most of their money comes from overtime, because it seems like a mother's work is never done. So go along with that. I found this kind of interesting about job description of a mother. So it says, job description: long-term, team player is needed. So it's for a challenging, permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication skills, organizational skills, and be willing to work variable hours, which will include evenings, weekends, and frequent 24-hour shifts. Sometimes overnight travel is required, and includes trips to primitive camping sites and endless sports tournaments in faraway cities. And these travel expenses are not reimbursed. And extensive carrier duties are also required. Responsibilities for the rest of your life: you have to be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until they need something. Must be willing to bite your tongue repeatedly. Also must possess the physical stamina of pack mule, but someone who's worked really hard, and be able to go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds flat when you hear your child screaming. Must be willing to face stimulating technical challenges, such as small gadget repair, mysterious sluggish toilets, and stuck zippers. And must be able to maintain calendars, screen calls, coordinate production, also help with homework. Must have the ability to organize and plan social gathering for people of all ages and all mental outlooks. Must be willing to be indispensable 1 minute and an embarrassment at the next minute. Must be able to handle and assemble and product safety testing of 500,000 cheap plastic toys and battery-operated devices. And you must be always hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. The possibilities for advancement is virtually none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly restraining and updating your skills so those in charge can ultimately surpass you. Previous experience: there's none required. On-the-job training offered on a continual, exhausting basis. Last but not least, the wages and compensation. You get this: you pay them, they don't pay you. Offering frequent raises and bonus. A balloon payment is due when they turn 18 because of the college that might make them more financially independent. And when you die, you leave everything to them. The oddest thing is that you actually enjoy it and you wish you could do more. So a mother. So this is a little cute here. I thought one day a little girl noticed her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out in contrast to her brunette head. She looked at her mother and said, "Why do you have the white hairs, Mom?" She replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong or make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turn white." The little girl thought for a minute and said, "Mama, how come Grandma's hairs are all white?" "And for your knowledge, my mom's hair has been white since I was born." She said it turned white when I was born. So leave you there with that thought. So guess a couple interesting things. We might mention a few more tonight. We are thankful for our mothers. They wear a lot of different hats. Thankful for all the things they do. And this morning, this is actually a passage of scripture that talks about a mother giving advice to their son. And that's one of the things that a mother is supposed to do, is train their children and help train their children. And it's written in Proverbs 31. Most of us would know this called as the virtuous woman. And we're not going to read the whole passage because there's one verse I'd like to focus in on and focus today on a little bit. But I do want to introduce it with reading it from the beginning so we at least get a proper setting. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, we do not know who King Lemuel is. Different people speculate. Some people believe it was Hezekiah. Some people believe it was Solomon. Some people believe it was someone that was just a name that was given there. But it's something a mother taught him. Most people believe it was Solomon, and that Solomon, as you're going to see, did not take the heed and the warning of his mother, because we learned a little bit about Solomon in the last few weeks, how he allowed women to take his heart and turn it from God and put it on them. And it's one of the most important things in the world, is that we learn to fear God and have our hearts focused on him first and foremost. Verse number 2, he says, what my son and what the son of my womb? And so this is his mother giving advice, what the son of my vows? Then she says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways of that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his property and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed unto destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And then verse number 10, she says to her son, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. So with the reference there of a virtuous woman, she then begins to give a description. A description of what she would consider a virtuous woman, a description of the type of woman that Solomon or King Lemuel should marry. One thing I want you to take notice of in verse number 3, give not strength unto women. And she's saying this and seeing that he's a king, and says, look, don't give your strength unto women. And he says, once again, anything in our lives, relationships can turn our hearts away from the Lord, and there is a strength that we all have. If you're a believer here today, you have a strength with the relationship with God. And he is your strong tower. He is your buckler. He is your shield. He is where you can draw. He can become your strength. But when we allow our hearts to be turned, as Solomon did to women, and when we allow our hearts to be turned away from God, no longer does he become our strength, but something else becomes our strength. If you're familiar with chapter 31, there's a lot of different interesting things in there. And a lot of the things people would say, how in the world can I do all that? How in the world can I make that happen? But verse number 30, I believe, is a key that helps us understand what the type of woman that this mother wanted for her son. So there's two different ways you can look at it. This is a mother giving advice to her son, and hopefully a mother is able to give godly advice. And secondly, you can look at it as a description of what a virtuous, godly lady would be like. So we're going to focus in on verse number 30. Now, being Mother's Day, I don't want everybody who's not a mother in the room to zone out and say, this message is not for me. You're wrong, because this message is for everyone, because it talks about fearing the Lord. And it's something that we all should learn and can understand. And also, it's a way that we can learn that we should praise a woman or a mother that does this. Look at what it says in verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Now, that you look at that, there it seems like there's a conflict here. There's favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The title of this morning's message is She Shall Be Praised. And the hope is that it helps us today. Not just mothers in the room, not just ladies in the room, but all of us today understand the type of person that God delights in. If we talk about delighting in the Lord, we are going to want to delight in the things that God delights in. And I believe God delights in individuals who fear him. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today, and we'll jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, it is truly my heart's desire that people get help today from your word. I know that today is hard for some people, is joyous for others. But Lord, I know your word is true. And we see this mother giving advice to her son and saying what is important when we look at an individual. And a person that fears the Lord, that is the person who will be praised. Help us to be individuals that fear God. Help us not focus on things that will not last, but instead help us to focus on those things that will last for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know that might seem kind of harsh when you first see this couple words, and it's like, Pastor Pease, it's Mother's Day. You're supposed to be nice to the mothers. And I am going to be nice to the mothers, obviously. But truth is truth. And the reality is that this mother is telling her son, hey, look, beauty is vain. Beauty is something that is not going to last. Worry more about what's inside. A person who fears the Lord is a person who you'll be able to praise, is a person you'll be able to be thankful for, is a person who you'll be able to lift up. Now, don't get me wrong. It's nothing wrong with a person being beautiful. Obviously, God has made us, and I think we're all beautiful in our own ways. But sometimes when somebody is looking for this beauty that it's referring to, is they're in pursuit of something. They're in pursuit of the attractiveness that the world will stand up and take notice of their beauty. But God's saying the person that we should stand up and have a desire to want to stand up and take notice of is the fear that we have of God. Now, when you see the word favor is deceitful, it's talking about a person who is able to be very graceful, someone who is very good with their words, and how that can sometimes be deceitful. I don't know how many times a person has married a person for the wrong reason. If you marry for someone just for their looks, guess what happens in a few years? Their looks can change. If you marry for someone for certain wrong reasons, those things can be deceiving. They're not always going to be that way. Unfortunately, I've seen where someone acts a certain way up until they get married, and when they get married, they turn into a completely different person. It was not the person they thought they were when they were getting married. So that's why the queen, we're calling her the queen because of the fact that her son is a king. So we're just assuming that before that she is telling her son, be careful who you marry. Wouldn't you agree with that? It's a wonderful challenge. It's something we need to drive home to our young people. Be careful who you marry. Make sure it's someone who loves the Lord. Make sure they're a Christian. Make sure they're someone who fears God, someone who is living for the Lord, because those things are the things that are worthy of praise. Favor, it's deceitful sometimes. Many times people who are good with their tongues have a very, very dark and cold heart. Not always. Beauty, yes, it's wonderful if they're attractive, too. It's a great package. And unfortunately, sometimes people get stuck with people that look like me. And my wife thinks I'm handsome. I think she's blind sometimes, but that's great. God changes our desires, and God changes our feelings, and God changes how we look at things. So let's look at a little bit. She shall be praised. So think about what it says. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So we got to first answer this question. What does it mean to fear God? The short answer is that we have a reverential awe of God. You say, that's a big word. Well, we reverence God. We see God for who he is. We believe who he is. And we stand in awe of God. As we stand in awe of God, the fear of God becomes a continual awareness that we are in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God, and that every thought, every word, and every action is open before him. So a woman or a man, a mother or a daughter, a husband or a son, it's applicable to all of us. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what Scripture is saying here is that we will learn to stand in awe of God and understand that every part of our day, we are always standing open and in front of God. Whatever we do, we stand before him. He sees everything we do. He sees everything that we have done, everything we are going to do. He is omnipresence, but he is living in time. He is someone who always was, he always will be, and he sees the beginning from the end. He knows everything, and we stand in his presence. We walk in his presence. Everything we do is in his presence. Now, here's the key for the fear of the Lord. We care what he thinks. See, it all boils down to this. What is your perception of God? There is people who perceive that there is a God in heaven, but they don't mind cursing his name. There's people who will say, yes, I believe there's a God, and I believe that's his word, but I'm going to do contrary to what he says. That is not a person who fears God. That's not a person who reverences God. That's not a person who stands in awe of God. So what the Bible is saying here, yes, you know, favor can be deceitful, yes, and beauty is vain, but a person who fears the Lord, a woman who feareth the Lord, that's the person that will be praised. That's the person that can be looked to. That's the goal we should be looking for. Is a person who stands and lives always in the presence of God. You say, well, we all do that. The question is, do we care? That's where it drives back down to. It says, everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think is open and naked before God. He knows it all. The question is, do you care? I think most of us would agree that, yes, we know that God sees. We know that God hears. We know that God is able to view every action. But do we reverence, honor, and respect him with our actions? It does not mean that we cringe and tremble at the mention of the name of God. It does not mean that we are afraid of what he's going to do, but instead, in reverence and awe of him, we reverence him because we want to honor him, and we do not want to disappoint him. We do not want to fail him. It means that we stand in the greatness of him and the goodness of him. A person that fears the Lord is a person that will say, I don't want to fail my Lord because he's God and he's worthy of all honor and all praise. That's the type of woman that this woman wanted her son to marry. He says, you know, beauty is great and favor is wonderful, but that can be deceiving, and that's vain because, you know, beauty never brought somebody to a spiritual place. Beauty never made someone else more spiritual. And so many times in the world and time that we live in today, the world is trying to tell us that we have to look a certain way, we have to act a certain way, or we're not acceptable, or we're not good, or we're not worthy. But that's not what the scriptures are saying. That it begins with a fear of the Lord. It begins with a pursuit of him. And so today I want to encourage you to be a person who's in the fear of the Lord. Not the idea that you're afraid of what he might do, but instead, we fear him, and the idea we want to love him and honor him with our lives. Exodus chapter 20, verses 19 to 22 has an interesting verses here that teaches us a little bit about the fear of the Lord. Listen to these words. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now remember, the Israelites as a nation were delivered out of Egypt. They were brought to Mount Sinai, and they were put there, and they saw the thunderings, they saw the cloud, and they said, Moses, you speak to God. We don't want to speak to him because we're fearful that he might kill us. If you want to take your Bibles over to Exodus chapter number 20, you can see where we're reading along. And it says, Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. So it's Exodus chapter 20, look at verse number 20. And it says, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Moses is saying to him, hey, look, you got the wrong impression. You see the appearance of God on that mountain. You see the manifestation of God, and you're fearful of it. Because you see the greatness of God, because you stand in awe of God, you're saying, I don't want to talk to him anymore. But that's the whole point. You're missing it. That's not what God desires for us. God desires us, and I know it's a different disposition. I know that that was the Old Testament, this is New Testament, but he tells us to pray unto him, tells us to come unto him boldly. He doesn't want us to be so afraid that we can't speak to him and tell and share our needs. Instead, he wants you to come to him. He is your help. He wants to be your help. He wants to be your joy. He wants to be the one that's your heavenly Father. And then you continue on and you think about it, what it says here. He says, Moses says, fear not, for God has not come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. He says, that sounds like a contradiction. No, I don't want you to be afraid to approach him. I don't want you to be afraid to talk to him. I don't want you to be afraid of, you know, going to God. You have a relationship with him. That's why he sent his son down, so we could have a relationship with him. He says, I want you to not sin. That manifestation that shows us and teaches us who God is, and we should take a step back and stand in awe of him and say, there's the creator of the world. There's a God that is in charge of all things. He can see all things. He can do all things. And even when he can do all those things, he still loves us. He still wants you to approach him. And as the verses keep on going, it says, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. He says, I want them to see that I have talked with them in heaven. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to love him. And I want you to get this good picture of what the fear of God is. It's there, and it's not the fact that we are afraid of him because we are afraid that he's going to hurt us. Now, let's think about it this way. If you had a child, it's Mother's Day, as a mother, you want your child to respect you, right? You want your child to honor you by obeying you. But we would not think it would be a good mother that if the child was afraid that the parent was going to hit him for no reason. See, that's their view of God. Their God was this. If we get close to him, he's going to kill us. That's not it at all. He was showing them. He did tell them not to come to the mountain. There was a reason. He set boundaries. But there was a purpose that was there. He says, I want you to live in awe of me. I want you to honor me. I want you to reverence me. And we wouldn't think it'd be a good parent that a child would have to flinch every time a parent raises their hand, thinking that they're going to get beaten. We wouldn't want to think that. And don't get me wrong, I think there is forms of punishment, and we're not going to get into that debate, but I think you understand what I'm saying. We don't want our children to live in fear of us because of the fact they're afraid that we're going to harm them. But we do want them to honor, because the Bible says honor your parents. We do want them to respect and learn and grow from that. And we want them to, as we heard them sing this morning, you know, there was a mother there that taught them about Jesus, was what the song was. And before I ever knew, before I ever understood, that was the goal. And I know not all mothers are not there. I know not all fathers are there. And you read this chapter and you're saying, well, that person works late and that person works long hours and that person does this and that person does that. And you get all worked up, all the different things they talk about. But focus on this. If we could learn how to fear the Lord, all that other stuff will take care of itself. If we will learn to have the right perspective of who God is, and that we want to worship that God, and that we want to learn of that God, and that we want to make him first and foremost. So at the beginning of the book, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says in Proverbs 1:7. Here at the end of the book, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. So what does that look like on paper? I know we talked about standing in awe of God, standing in reference, understanding that God is always here and we can see and we care that God because we don't want to disappoint and we don't want to fail. What does that look like in paper? How can we learn? There's a couple things here I'd like you to think about. First of all, a person who fears the Lord will not fear tomorrow. A person who fears the Lord will not fear tomorrow. Look what it says in verse number 25 here. Chapter 31 in Proverbs, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I see that phrase about the virtuous woman as a person who's going to rejoice in time to come. She is rejoicing for tomorrow. How can you rejoice for tomorrow? Because you believe in God. You believe there is a God. You believe that he loves you and he cares for you. And he can take all things and he can work all things together for good. And because you believe there is a God and there is faith, you know what? We're excited about what could happen tomorrow. I'm excited about tomorrow because God is there. And I'm excited because of what God can do in my life and what God can do in a surrendered life and what God can do in a life of someone who fears him. Even though some things might not look good tomorrow, even though some things look like they could be hard, even though some things might look like they're tough, some of you guys might have to go to school tomorrow, some of you might have a test tomorrow, some of you might have hardships that you're facing at work, some of you might have a tough discussion that you have to have with somebody, but this is saying that they're rejoicing in time to come because they believe God, they trust in God, they have faith in God, and they know that God is able to accomplish all things, and God is able to work everything out for good. A person who truly fears the Lord and lives and stands in awe of God knows that I don't have to worry about the future because the God who loves me and the God that is in control can handle those things. Is that what we pass along to our kids? Is that what we're passing on to the next generation? One of the greatest sins of today inside our circles, inside our churches like this, is the sin of worry. Worrying about what could happen or what may happen instead of placing everything inside God's hands and leaving it to God. Second thing is, not only is a person who fears the Lord will not fear tomorrow, a person who fears the Lord will have wisdom to give. Look what it says in verse number 26. It says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. So this mother is saying to her son, son, I want you to have someone who rejoices in the Lord. I want you to have someone who's not going to be afraid tomorrow. I don't want you to have to live with someone that's always negative and that's always complaining, that is always worried about what if this happened and what if that happens. We want someone who fears the Lord and believes and trusts in God, who has this confidence in God. Like it says in Proverbs in 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. But we also want someone who can give wisdom. She says, you want to find a wife that doesn't just spout off and just say whatever. You want to find someone who doesn't just want to give her opinion all the time, but someone who wants to give wisdom, a helpmate, a helpmeet, someone who's there that can get wisdom and can offer wisdom. You don't want to have someone there that is trying to turn your heart away from God or turn your life somewhere else. You want someone who has wisdom. And that's what it says here. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. Wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Wisdom comes from the Lord. There's a lot of people who gain knowledge, but wisdom can truly only come from the Lord. And it says, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Bible also says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So it's the beginning of wisdom. It begins with the fear of the Lord, having the right perspective, seeing God on the throne, seeing God high and lifted up in charge of all things. That's the perspective of a person who fears the Lord. That is a person that can offer wisdom. You know, that's what we want to do, right? I mean, don't we want to leave that to the next generation? Those little ones that we're raising. And I know we have children that are newborns all the way up to children that are in college. What do you want to do? You want to offer them wisdom. You don't want to just speak how you feel. The heart's deceitful. The heart's desperately wicked. You want to have something to offer them. Yes, you have past experience, but have you learned from that? Are we living in the fear of God? Because a person who lives in the fear of God, they're going to look forward to tomorrow because God's there and God can do all things. And they're going to be a person who offers wisdom and offers it with a lips of kindness. It's something there that says, here, this is not just what I think. This is what the Bible says. This is what God says. This is what his word says. And we should obey this because we're standing and we fear the Lord, and because of the fact that we don't want to disappoint him and we don't want to fail him. We don't want to do anything that's going to dishonor him with our lives. A person who fears the Lord will make the most of their opportunities. It's the third point. Not only will they not fear tomorrow, not only will they give wisdom, but they'll make most of their opportunities. It says in verses 11 and 12, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then it continues on. You know, it talks, and I mentioned verses 11 and 12 because the opportunity that a woman has with her mate, if she's married, are opportunities for relationships, not just with the husband, but also you see in verse number 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. The opportunity she has with children, the relationships there, she'll make the most of it. Also, it talks about in verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willing with her hands. Talks about the opportunity she has to be ambitious and be able to be industrious. And even talks in the scriptures about how she takes care of the poor and how she helps those that are in need. And there are so many different things. She takes advantage of the opportunities that God has given her. Why do they do that? Because as I stand before God and as I fear God, I'm going to treat my husband or my wife this way because I don't want to dishonor God. I want him to be pleased with me. I'm going to raise my children this way because of the fact they need it, yes. But more importantly, I'm standing in the presence of God and I fear the Lord and I don't want to disappoint him. As a child, you're going to honor your parents. You're going to obey your parents because they deserve it. Maybe not. But because you stand in the presence of God and I'm saying, okay, favor is deceitful. I mean, beauty is vain. But a person that fears the Lord, that's someone I fear the Lord because of that. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to obey them. In my relationships with my authorities, my relationships with those that are around me, the people I work for, the people that work for me, it's all found in there. There's scripture about all that. And it comes to the point is, do I fear the Lord? Do I respect the Lord? A woman or a person who fears the Lord will make the most of their opportunities. God has given us all different types of opportunities, all different types of relationships, all different types of things that we can learn and we can grow from, and we can live a life that is to be praised, that we can delight in the things that God delights in. I want you to think for a second that last phrase in verse number 30, she shall be praised. You go up to verse number 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, let me say, I know not all moms are good. I understand that. We should be thankful for our mothers because that's what God put in their lives. And most of the moms I know are tremendous. They do so many good things. A lot of the moms here at this church work hard with their kids and work hard with their husbands, and they do a wonderful job, and we honor them for that. But we all probably know of stories of women that are not as honorable as mothers. And there are a lot of times people, and when you get a day like this, you praise people sometimes when they don't deserve the praise. You lift people up. Just, you ever been to a funeral? The guy laying there, or the lady laying there, wasn't very nice, but the person gets up and they say all these nice things about them. And you're wondering, who is that they're talking about? That's not that person I know. You want to be a person that deserves the praise, or a person that would be lifted up? It's a person that fears the Lord. A person that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That is what we should desire for our sons and daughters to marry, someone who's a Christian, but someone who also fears the Lord. A home is God-made, and that's God's design, is that it be filled with people who fear the Lord, who love the Lord, and who see that they're always in his presence and want to live a life to honor and please him. I want to leave you with this thought. Sometimes relationships are a little rocky. Sometimes relationships are not always good. As I mentioned before, I've sat and listened to funerals. I've sat and listened to people who've just lost loved ones, and they many times say, I wish I had the chance to tell the person. Make the most of your opportunities. If you have your mother today with you, say the things you would say at the funeral. You know, what if your mom wasn't here next week? I talked to my mom yesterday for a few minutes. I usually call her on Saturday to have a longer conversation, but I try to be the first person to call her in the morning time, and we only talk for a few minutes because it's Sunday morning and I'm getting things ready. And you know, I say the things that I would like to say if she wasn't there, because I know that next year she might not. I'm not trying to sound morbid, but the reality is, if there's someone that you want to say thank you to or show your appreciation to, don't put it off. What would you say if it was her funeral next week and she wasn't there? I mean, she's here now, but you didn't take the chance. Don't miss the opportunity. Same thing with your wives and your husbands. Show your appreciation. Show your thankfulness. Because we don't know what's going to happen next week. No one's going to happen tomorrow. But we should be doing our best now to show our appreciation to others. I want to encourage you today. Don't let today go by without at least trying to be an encouragement to those that have been encouragement to you. Tell them that you love them. He said, well, we had an argument and a fight today. Okay, then get that right, and then tell them what you would like to tell them, and tell them the things that you would tell them if they weren't here. Because how many times have we said, I wish they were here. I wish I could say one more thing to them. I wish I could express that. Now, I know there's a number of people here today who has parents that have gone on, and you can still thank the Lord for those. And I know there's some people here today that do not have children, but have been a blessing to so many. And I want to encourage you to thank them also. I've seen many times people in churches and people that have been a blessing to my sons, and they didn't have their own children. And they were a mother's type influence on them. I can look back in my life and I can see men and women that were influences in my life that sometimes in the past on Father's Day or Mother's Day, I'll look at them and say, you know, thank you for your influence. Not the fact that I didn't have a great mom and dad, but just thankful for the things that they've done. but are we living a life that shall be praised? You say, Pastor, aren't all our praises supposed to go to God? They are. But God delights in a person that fears him, and we can delight in that too. For instance, I don't know why, but sometimes people give me compliments about my sons. And I don't always see it, but they say nice things about my sons. I'm joking. I think I have a couple of pretty good sons. And when they say that and they praise my sons for something they did that was right, you know what that does? That encourages my heart too. So when you're thankful to someone else about the things that they have done that are right, it's also a blessing to God because you're lifting that up. It says, the children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. She shall be praised. So I don't think there's anything wrong with a person who fears the Lord if you say thank you for the influences and show your appreciation in different ways. But don't put it off. No one knows what tomorrow holds. Make sure you do it today. Last but not least, I can't finish a sermon without saying, do you know Christ today? This world, someday we all stand before God and we'll be in judgment. Have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? The Bible teaches us that there's a place called heaven, there's a place called hell, and are you stand in all of him and say, I believe his word, and his word says that I need to be saved, and that I'm going to call out to him and ask him to save me because of my sins. I'm lost, and because of that, I'm going to be guilty before God. And God saw that. God knew that. He sent his son down the cross to die for us so that we could have eternal life. This morning, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It's the greatest decision you can ever make. You cannot properly fear the Lord without knowing him first. Those people in Israel were saying, we can't even get near him. We're afraid. Moses, you talk for him. That's not what God wanted. God wants a relationship with us. Well, he doesn't want us to fear us thinking that he has a lightning bolt and he's going to throw it down and harm us every time we do a sin. He doesn't want us to live that way. Instead, he wants us to live, I love God. Because he is my creator and because he loves me and because what he's done for me, I want to stand in fear of disappointing him or failing him. And yes, I don't want to mess up because there could be punishment, but it's more I stand in awe of him and I do not want to fail him. I thought about people in the Bible, moms in the Bible that fear the Lord, and a number of them came to my thoughts and my mind. I thought about Ruth, and I know she's not known for being a mother for the most part, but she was a person that was praised throughout the book of Ruth because she feared the Lord. She went with her mother-in-law even though she was told to go home. She worked in the field. She did everything to get it. She wanted God to bless her, and she lived a life that God could bless. And all throughout the community, they praised her. I thought about the story of Jochebed when it says in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They cared more about what God thought than what the commandments thought, what the king commandment was. That's what the fear of the Lord is. I care more about what God thinks than anyone else. That's why favor can be deceitful and beauty can be vain. The world might say, hey, look, if you're this favorable and this beautiful, you got your ticket set. That's not the type of person we want to be according to the scriptures. The fear of the Lord is where it begins. Are you pursuing after God? Do you spend more time with the beauty or do you spend more time with the Lord? And you can replace the word beauty with anything, but do you fear him today? Do you live a life remembering that you're always in his presence? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. This morning, I don't know how God's